the Lord this morning for His salvation, His love, and that He is definitely trustworthy, that we can trust Him in and all and for all things. Nothing beyond God that we cannot say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe in His providence and His power and certainly in His grace. So thank the Lord for that today. I'd like for me and you today to consider a continuation of a thought that's been on my mind for a good little while. And that's the thought of a respect of the presence of the Lord in our services. The respect, the honor, the reverence, the awe, the power of the Lord coming down to meet with His people. And consider some more thoughts about that. We've had a couple of messages on this, and quite frankly, I find it a rather large subject when you consider that collectively we come together and God Himself, through the Holy Ghost, is willing to come down and be in our midst and be the focal point of our worship, the focal point of all that's said and done, to offer up praises and honor, to allow Him to minister to us through one another and to enjoy the liberty that God gives us, to be edified, to be strengthened, to share our mutual woes, to share the things of life that beset us, to enjoy the fellowship of others who believe, and to know that God is willing and does come down and meet with us through His Spirit and through His Word. So if you will, today, let's continue on a little bit in the thought of respect for the Lord or the presence of the Lord here in our services. 3 Sundays, I believe, ago, we began with the necessity of paying heed to the Word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By paying heed to what God says. The necessity that we find in paying attention to God. So we talked a little bit that day about our need in service to give attention to God. Give attention and concentrate on the purpose and the reason that we've come together. We spoke that day about how the Lord is worshiped financially, and we brought out a few scriptures for that. We come to offer the Lord not only our praise, our thanksgiving, but also our first fruit. And we also emphasized that obviously that's not the only means of financially worshiping the Lord. We spoke in reference to respecting the presence of the Lord about redeeming the time, about being on time, being respectful that the Lord has agreed to meet with us and we want to be punctual and not be a distraction or not to cause attention to be taken away. So we talked a little bit about that. We spoke about respecting the Lord in our attire and how we clothe our body and how we dress. Not to bring attention to oneself. Not to be immodest or so casual that it's showing disrespect for the presence of the Lord. We spoke along with the same thing about redeeming the time in honor and respect of Christ's person to make a concerted effort to be where God's people are and not casually take this opportunity, but take it as a most serious and a wonderful present time. Last Sunday, we skipped a Sunday, and then last Sunday, we spoke about respecting the presence of the Lord through our participation in the service. Not just the preaching, but in the accumulation of the service. And we speak, the word that we began to the message on was the word amen. And we spoke about the liberty we have and the necessity even of, as God leads, to be in agreement with what is being said, sung, spoken, prayed. And we spoke about worshiping and respecting God with our amens and with our lifting up of holy hands. So that's kind of some of the things that we touched on, and I don't want to re-preach those, of course. The songwriter that the ladies sang a while ago, the sisters sang, said, "Lord, I am trusting you." One of the great things the Lord is looking for in my life and in your life is, do we trust Him? Do we have confidence in Him? Do we believe that He can really do all that's ascribed to Him? And are we willing to let God lead us, guide us? And I didn't see you, Sister Maxine. I'm sorry. I would have waited a minute. Now I've embarrassed us both. Anyway, do we really trust God enough to allow Him to lead us in our worship service? Holy Spirit leadership. Worshiping, respecting the presence of the Lord by allowing His Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to direct our services. When you visit around to other places, and I grew up in a group of people that were pretty strict as far as keeping things in order. When you visit around or have been other places, you'll find that the saints of God as we know them are very unique in the way we conduct our services. We have a tremendous amount of liberty. Most places pre-design what song will be sung and at what time. We don't do that. We rely on the Lord to lead us, impress someone to call a number or to sing a song. Sometimes we sing 3 songs, 4 songs, 5 songs. We rely on the Lord to who is going to lead in prayer. And we don't say, "Brother or sister so-and-so, will you lead us in prayer?" But we depend on God to be able to do that for us. In the preaching of the Lord's Word, customarily, especially at meetings, camp meetings, etc., we allow the Lord to dictate who or if anyone would take the place of the minister and preach the Word of God. As you trace the history of fallen movements, you will find more and more of a, or less and less of a dependency upon the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and more of a dependency upon man. Man's thinking and man's reasoning. I have my beliefs why that happens, and I'll state that is primarily is, one, the absence of God, because men fail to trust Him. That He is able to direct a worship service. And He does not need me or you principally to be here. Have you ever heard of a good meeting and you weren't there? Have you ever heard of a good message preached and if you're a preacher, you weren't there? The Lord has divine abilities, divine wisdom, and He knows how to lead. So, Lord, I'm trusting You, the songwriter said. We trust God. May we today continue to trust Him for the leadership in our worship services, respecting the presence of the Lord. If Christ were here in person, we would look at Him and see what he had in mind. We would respect him. God is here, and God wants us to respect him in how we offer up our thanksgiving. In our testimony services, there's really no protocol, is there? Someone, a couple have testified today. No one asked them. In fact, we didn't even just, in some of them, didn't even give a space for that. But God made a space for it. And God allowed the opportunity to arise. And God impressed upon the person through the Holy Spirit, through a love and a devotion and a willingness to witness to the graciousness of God. So I submit to you that all in all, the saints of God are very unique. Can you imagine a moment, monarch in the hands of sectarianism? Could you imagine if monarch without the presence of the Holy Ghost? Could you imagine keeping things in any type of order without going with a set of schedules and rules, without the Holy Ghost there? So I'm glad today that the Lord is able, and I can trust him for leadership in the services, in the worship, as the saints come together. We have some scriptures that we want to read and go over today. The Bible tells me in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, that the government is upon his shoulder. Now that's the government of the church. That is the direction of the church. That is the authority invested in Christ to be able to build his church, keep his church. And it says there in 9, 6, and 7 of Isaiah that he is able to establish it and that he is able to order it. Do we trust God? Trusting God for this requires some things besides trust. It requires obedience. It requires being in touch with God, and we'll try to touch on that. This is not a free-for-all, as we all know, and thank God we don't demonstrate that. Church or worship services have an order to them, God's order. As people, we fall into routines, and I don't fault that. But we always leave room for God to change the routine. We may consistently have offering after the third song. I don't object to that. But if the Lord wants one song or 10 songs, we leave him that discretion that he can do that. Sometimes after service, after offering, we'll have prayer requests. Sometimes we'll have a song. Sometimes we'll have 2 or 3 songs or a testimony. We must allow the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, to order and to establish and to direct. The government is on his shoulders. That's the part we want to hold to right now. And I can trust him. I can believe in him. And in trusting, I can be confident in him. And I can be assured in him. And I can know that as you and me are led of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be edifying things said or prayed or sung. And whatever is done under the direction of the Holy Ghost will be edifying and encouraging to us all. Over in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, in the 44th verse, speaking of the kingdom of God that was to be established and has been established, it said of God that he would not leave this kingdom to other people. That's a blessing. So we don't have a change. We may change pastors. We may change song leaders. Certain ones may testify one Sunday and another not. Or Wednesday. We may change faces. But the kingdom itself and the authority of the kingdom will never be left to other people. He will always have jurisdiction in his church. Now man may think they're going to usurp that, or they're going to do it a little different. But may I say to you, we take a severe chance of moving outside of the kingdom when we do that. And we find ourselves in places that God will not honor and God will not worship with us. So with those two thoughts, let's consider some more this morning. I'm glad, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm glad that God is able to order his kingdom, establish it. And I'm glad he's not going to leave it to other people. I'm convinced the Lord knows what should be said and conversely what should not be said. What the burdens he has for us and how he can minister most effectively to the people who come within these doors. We're speaking primarily right here of our congregation now. It's universally, though, this way. God wants to bless his people. And we must trust him that he knows how to administer the blessing. And that he has the order of the service ultimately in his hands. As I said, we may fall into a system whereby we overall do a certain pattern. And I'm not in any way objecting to that. But we always want to remember the Lord is the final authority. And if he wants to change any part of it at any time, who he uses, who he does not use, we give him that authority in the sense that we obey that. We submit to that. Over in John, the fourth chapter, the 23rd verse, "But the hour cometh," 4:23 of John, "but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We want to remember something that's very necessary here. And one is, God is not human. And God is not a man. And God does not suffer the limitations of man. And God is not limited in what he can do among us as we would think man would be limited among us. But God is able, because of him being who he is and being a spirit, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more above what we expect or what we could even ask of him. He is able to lead us in depths and heights and dimensions that are totally unknown to the human intellect. He has the power to administer grace to the hearer, and he alone. No preacher, as well-trained and as eloquent as he or she may be, can minister 1 ounce of grace. Grace is a commodity and blessing of the Almighty. He alone can dispense it. He alone has it. And he alone can give it to mankind. So we need God. He is totally able, above everything we ask or think, to go into the recesses of man's heart and bring forth and solicit forth worship and praise that edifies others. Not of the flesh, nor does it feed the flesh, but it feeds the hunger and the need of a soul. It reaches down to where the essence of life is, the heart. And not only does it come forth out of the heart of man, but it enters into the heart of another man. And by that, God is able to minister to us as he works differently through each one as we submit to him. God's a spirit, so his dimensions are greater than man. His talents, his abilities, his able to focus in is greater. In his ability to lead us to heights beyond our fondest imaginations is immeasurable. So God's a spirit. And to attempt to reach up to him with our puny little mentality, how far short are we going to fall? We're going to fall on our face. We're not going to attain to what God wants to give us when we approach God in our flesh with an expectation that man can feed man, or that we can minister to a person's deepest hurts in a way that will cause that person to be lifted up to God and encouraged in their soul. The strength of this comes from God. If a minister says a word or two that encourages, or that corrects or blesses, Sister Wall over in Four Corners used to come and occasionally say, "Thank the Lord for the message, Brother Dixon." I'd say, "Well," or she'd say, "I appreciated the message." And I'd say, "Well, thank the Lord, Sister Wall." And she'd point up to heaven and she said, "Yes, we've just got to give praise to where praise is due." And isn't that so true? If you and me are blessed, it's because God blessed us. So God is a spirit. And it's said here that we must, or we are, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And it speaks about a true worship. Another place Jesus speaks about vain worship or empty worship. I want to read what one of the Greek definitions of true and truth is. That which has not only the name and resemblance, but the true or the real nature. The true worshiper not only has a resemblance, not only has the name, but they too are partaker of the divine nature, or the true spirit, or the real nature. Peter writes to us and says, God has made it so we can be a partaker, God's people, the redeemed of the Lord, can be a partaker of the divine nature. So now when we come before the Lord, God's saints, we come before the Lord, yes, as humans, and yes, in our lack, but we also come to Him partaker of Himself. And then His Spirit, our spirit, has a communication, one songwriter said, unknown to the proud in heart. So thank the Lord today that you and me, God's people, can be made a partaker of the divine nature and not have just the Word or not have just a resemblance, but be actually a partaker of the real nature of God. As we become a real partaker of the nature of God, God is then able to speak to our heart. And God is able not to have to try to weed through the confusion of how you and me think it ought to be, or that I would try to dictate in any way. And not when I say I mean a person. But by having that divine nature, being the partaker of that, and God Himself is a spirit, then we can trust Him. We can put our trust in Him. Lord, if you don't bless us, we don't have anything. But if you bless us, we have everything. And we don't come to you, Lord, to lift up talent or abilities. We don't come to you, Lord, to energize the flesh. But Lord, we have a spirit. And that spirit is in touch with you. Lord, we need you to minister to our soul in ways that we could never dream of. We could never think about. God is a spirit and God seeks. What God is looking for is not vain or fleshly worship, but God is looking for the lifting of holy hands or testimonies or songs. God is looking for tears to come in the eyes. God is looking for those nodding of the heads and those quiet amens. Being directed by Him, and as we've said already in these messages, as unto Him. As directed to Him. Not to be seen of man, although they will sometimes. Not to be a demonstration of one's abilities or to work something up in the flesh. But God is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And in respect and love of Him, Lord, what would you have us do? How would you direct our service? What kind of song, or do you want a song? What would you like, Lord? The Spirit in tune with Him, see? And God then is able to administer the service in the way that He wants it to run, a way He wants it to be directed. He seeks that. He's not seeking independent spirits. He's not seeking independent agendas. The Lord does not want your agenda here. He wants His Word and His Spirit and His message of the gospel here. God wants what He has in mind. God wants what He thinks the direction ought to be. God wants the correction that He wants to give. God wants the encouragement that He wants to encourage. And He's not really wanting to know what I think about it. He's wanting me to trust Him. He's wanting me to fall under His power and have the real nature of God. So may the Lord help us today to be so thankful and to absolutely trust Him that He's seeking me to submit my heart, my mind, my soul, my body to Him and to allow Him to lead me when we come together wanting to lead each one of us. And how beautiful, how peaceful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a peaceful habitation. It's a pleasant valley. And the Lord wants you and me to come together. I'm going to take that in a literal sense. Come together in the unity of the divine nature of the Lord, totally submitted and relinquished to Him, and allow Him to proceed to lead the service. And there the Lord commanded a blessing. There's where the blessing is. It's not when a man of eloquence speaks. It's not when somebody runs and jumps and shouts and jumps a pew. That's not where the blessing necessarily is. If you want to run and jump and shout, hop over a pew or two, well, if the Lord's in it, praise the Lord. But that's in itself not where it is. The blessing is in the presence of God. There's where when men and women come together united in worship, in opening up their hearts, their minds, allowing the Lord to solicit from their innermost being praise and thanksgiving and the liberty to do that. The liberty to cry. Not being forced to say praise God, but having the liberty to say it. God bringing forth out of us what He's wanting out of us. God allowing you and me to pray as He gives utterance. Not measuring the eloquency of the words. Not measuring how long the prayer may be. But soliciting from my heart divine worship to Him. Praise to Him. And I believe with all my heart, the word spoken with divine unction will minister grace to the hearer. Whether they be long or short, whether they be properly grammatically correct or have some mistakes in it, if they are coming from a heart that loves Jesus and a heart that's sold out and is in respect to my God is met with us, my Savior is among us, and I offer up my thanksgiving to Him, that's what we have as God's people, that liberty and that freedom to do that. Or, if God is not leading, in no way be pressured to do that. Not to measure fellowship on those lines. But Lord, help us to recognize God is in this place. We say it's a building, but I said earlier on in one of the messages, it's more than just a building. It is a place where God has agreed to meet where two or three are. Now, I realize we don't worship the building, and I'm not in at all, and God doesn't live anywhere in this particular. He lives in you and me and us. And when we come together, God's presence is here. And that's what we're worshiping, the presence of the Almighty. Over in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, He said that this man will I look. He that has a poor and a contrite heart. The man who came in his affluence and said, look how much I'm giving. Jingle, jingle, jingle. The Lord passed over that offering. And the widow with the two mites, she gave all her she had and Certainly she didn't make a show of it, but the Lord spoke, stopped what he was saying, and took note of that lady. The man who said, "I'm glad I'm not like this publican here," God did not accept that worship. But the man that smote on his breast and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner," I believe he said, that man went home justified, and the other still had his cross that he was trying to bear by himself. Thank God today that the Lord is looking for the humble, the meek, and the lowly, to allow him to fill their hearts and then to empty out as the Lord gives utterance, as the Lord gives direction. I'm glad he's not looking for the pride of life to be a demonstration of who he is, aren't you? The spirit of man, or the spirit, he said. We're to worship him with our spirit. Now that can be a deep thought. We're not going very deep there. It's the temper and the disposition of the mind, the soul of man. His intellect is immaterial and immortal part of man. It is that which is the thinking, knowing, doubting, and the power of moving of man. That man who motivates us. God wants to possess our spirit. He said in one place, "A new spirit I will give you." And he wants by his divine spirit to occupy our spirit. He wants our spirit subject unto him. And as that happens, then he can lead us. And we don't have need of man to lead us as such. We don't need then a program. Did you know you and I can come into this place, and we do, with full assurance that there won't be a program, and in full assurance that we don't need a program. That where two or three are gathered together, God is able to speak to two or three or one or a dozen and bring forth praise unto his name, worship unto him. And we don't have to know a week ahead of time or a minute ahead of time. You know, God knows exactly who's here. And God knows what you need. And God knows what I need. God knows what this congregation needs. And he is able, based on that knowledge and based on who has come out, to know exactly what is necessary, what is right for the time. Thank the Lord this morning. He gave gifts, he gave power, and he gives anointing. And the Lord is seeking people who will worship him in the Spirit. That Spirit can manifest itself, and we don't dictate how that happens. But the bottom line is, it has to be of the Spirit for it to be acceptable in God's sight. Over in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 16th verse, it says that his Spirit witnesses with our spirit. That is one of the greatest and most blessed things that we as Christians possess, that God is able to speak with us. God is able to divinely talk to us and instruct us. His Spirit witnessing to our spirit. I'm glad today that he has that ability, because without that ability, he couldn't lead us. Then we'd be subject to priests. Then we would be subject to vicars. Then we would be subject to some man's interpretation of right, wrong, and justice and injustice, conduct, how to dress, how to behave. Then we would be subject to some kind of ritual worship where we would responsively read to one another, or we would fall into some type of formal worship that would be just that. And then men would go and seek which form of worship they like best. The quiet murmurings of a congregation who all recites at the same time, or some type of Pentecostal movement where they do strange things. And all in between. And men then begin to say, because they're not led of the Spirit, "Well, I like this better. I like this better. Well, this suits me." Indifferent to the voice of the Lord, because the God cannot speak to them the way He speaks to the redeemed. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Over in John 16, 13 through 14, Jesus said of the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost would come and guide us into all truth. That's what we depend on, saints. The Word of God is not just given for a private interpretation. The Word of God is given to minister to every one of us. And we have seen more than once in our own life where a scripture that we have maybe formally thought of in one particular vein, but then a great need or a need comes up in our life, and God will take that very scripture and tell us something new out of it. I'm glad for the dynamics of the living Word. And we have doctrine. Praise God for doctrines. Praise the Lord for traditions. But the good news is, praise the Lord is able to take the Word and guide us into all truth. It's not limited to what the preacher says, not limited to what one man says. It is alive and it is free and it has right away into the heart of the man and the woman who will open themselves up in worship. Lord, I want all of you. And the preacher may have a certain course he's going with the Word, and it may be true, but folks, that does not limit the dynamics of the Word of God. Praise the Lord this morning. Every one of us can come into the assembly of the Lord. Have you ever been blessed by a message that you took in a different vein than maybe the preacher or the other folks took it? You got something special out of it? That's the Spirit of the Lord working in our lives. That He would guide us in all truth. And that Holy Ghost, He's so reverence of the presence of the Lord, if I may say it this way, He won't even speak of Himself. But He always speaks of Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the Savior of the body. Jesus is the one we live and breathe and have our being in. Jesus is the one who is the fullness of the Godhead. So it is Him, God the Father, through Jesus, but the Holy Ghost doesn't even speak of Himself. Do we get a lesson? Let's keep ourselves out. Lord, give me Your mind. Give me Your heart. Lord, is this song what You're asking me to call? Lord, I'm timid and I've never called a song before. But Lord, is it for edification? Lord, You're here and I respect You. Number 401. I don't even know what that song is. But I call it, Lord. And I'm timid. And I'm wondering if anybody's looking at me. But Lord, in spite of that, You've agreed to meet with us. And in my heart is this burning. I'll say those few words, that Your name might be glorified. Not to intimidate us, not to try to put something over on you, but God, that God would help us see the liberty we have. One of the things that can happen to us, we will fall into a form of certain one prays, and we depend on that certain one praying. Now, if you're praying, don't stop, okay? But did you know, as we kneel before the Lord, He can speak to you and say, pray. You have that liberty. And the saints, I promise you, will rejoice. The saints will be happy. And God will be edified. I'm not trying to lay something on you and say you got to do it. But you have that liberty in the Lord. He's here. If God calls on us to pray, we have that liberty to pray in respect of Him and of His unction on our life. Just a thought or two there. And the Bible in John 16 and 13 and 14, He will glorify me. We don't have to be afraid this morning. If I or you, if we're led by the Holy Ghost, we don't have to be worried about being out of order. Now, we may think we stumble, And we may think we're awkward. We may think that someone could do it better. But I'm trusting in you, Lord. You remember that song? Lord, I'm trusting you. And you've asked me. You've directed me. And Father, in the name of the Son, I worship you. I praise you. And I honor you. And I obey you. And I trust you. Did you know what? That blesses the whole congregation. Because I am convinced no one or dozen ones have everything of the Lord. We all come together with a gift. We all come together as joints. And each one of us contribute. Now, I'll try to be balanced here. This is not saying that every time someone comes to service, they've got to have something to say or prayer or call a song. That's not what I'm saying. But let's also come to service not with a thinking, I don't have to do anything. Somebody else will. But come to the service in respect of the presence of the Lord. He is the director. The government is upon His shoulders. Go with me over into Acts, the 17th chapter. In the 25th verse. Scripture we use, one, for not having musical instruments. We use that sometimes for that, this scripture for that. But I believe it means much more than just having music, not having musical instruments. 17 and 25. Neither is worshipped, speaking of God, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeth he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Probably the point of this in context is idols, hewing out stones, trees, etc., setting them up as images of some kind. But the Lord is not worshipped with the effects of man, the orchestration of man, or the design of man, or the intelligence of man, nor with the talents of man. But God is a spirit, and we worship Him in spirit as we become partakers of that divine nature. He said, as though He needeth anything. We need to be careful that we don't come to a thought that we have to supplement God. We don't have to do that. What God wants is you, and what God wants is me. God wants to be able to work with my spirit and yours in such a way that the presence of the Lord will be glorified, His name will be honored, His presence will be honored, and that we will be edified because of His presence. Not because of someone, not a fleshly edification, not a fleshly feel-good, not saying, oh, that's such a beautiful building, oh, that was such a beautiful choir robe, all those men spoke so eloquently, and that piano player never missed a note, and went on and on. God is not worshipped in that vein. God is a spirit, and only as He ministers to our spirit are we fed. Only as He ministers to our heart, and only as we minister back to Him from the heart, is He glorified and are we edified. He doesn't need any accompaniments. All He wants is you and me to participate. He doesn't need any add-ons this morning. Sometimes people can think God's got to have help. You may count it help when we submit to Him, but I count that more as being a vessel to honor and praise. But to think that a certain minister's got to preach or a certain person has to lead. I remember years ago as a boy growing up, They used to have a little church down the road where my family all grew up going. They used to get in some pretty good little ruckuses over the piano player. Because one mama wanted her daughter and another mama wanted her daughter and on and on. Folks, don't we understand, and I know we do, God doesn't need us. He wants us and He'll use us. But oh, He can be worshipped not with men's hands, but with the Spirit. He asked Job. Job got down to the last of the book there a little bit. I guess the Lord said, well, it's time to open up Job's eyes. And I don't fault old brother Job, because Job was in a hard place. And I know Job was doing some strong soul searching and reasoning. And maybe he got a little carried away with it, but maybe I would too. But after a while, the Lord came to Job and He said, Job, started naming off creations and the animals and all. He said, by the way, Job, where were you when I did all that? I can see old Job scratching his head. And after a while, the Lord kept, well, Job, now I did so and so. By the way, where were you, Job, when I did that? Job kind of hunkered down. After a while, Job just threw his hands over his mouth. He said, I've gone too far. Lord, help us. God doesn't need us in that vein. Where were we when He spoke the worlds into existence? Where were we when He commanded the animals on the earth? Where were we when the first trees brought forth? Where were we when the waters were separated? Where were we? God doesn't need us in that sense. God needs our heart. God needs our spirit. God needs us to worship with Him. Well, I'm half through, so I'll stop. But we have a wonderful privilege this morning of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, not following the flesh or relying on the flesh. So let you and me never lose sight of, possession of this truth. That we can come together, contributors. We can come together, led of the Holy Ghost. We can come together to be fed and to feed, not on what we bring, but what the Lord gives us. Try to be so careful in my words directed at the church. Because I believe in the church of God as the bride of Christ, holy, undefiled. But I would to God today that you and me as the church would take full advantage of that liberty we have. So we come today to reverence Him by worshiping in Him in spirit and in truth. You pray for me.